This is DW News live from Berlin. It's five in a row for Bayern Munich. The players celebrate as they clinch a record fifth straight Bundesliga title, and they did it in style, thrashing Wolfsburg 6-0. It's the 27th time they've won the German Football League. Also on the programme, in Brussels, Europe closes ranks ahead of Brexit talks with Britain. EU leaders agreeing on a common stance in upcoming negotiations, including a decision to negotiate the price of Britain's exit before talking about future trade relations. And in Turkey, the crackdown continues as thousands of civil servants are dismissed. The government also blocks access to Wikipedia. We'll go to our correspondent in Istanbul to find out why. Hello and welcome. My name is Christopher Springate. Good to have you with us. Bayern Munich have won Germany's Bundesliga for a record-extending fifth year in a row. They did so in style, an away victory in Wolfsburg that puts them 10 points ahead with just three games remaining. Bayern have now won the national football title no fewer than 27 times. But today's victory comes after five games without a win at the end of what some Bayern managers may consider a disappointing season. In recent weeks, the team has been knocked out of all other competitions, dashing those hopes of winning a treble.
At least they have the Bundesliga title to celebrate. Bayern got knocked out of both the Champions League and the German Cup, but now they've clinched their fifth straight league championship and the first under Carlo Ancelotti. The veteran coach always took the tough task of replacing Pep Guardiola in stride.
The most important is the organization that you are able to build and the motivation that you and the atmosphere that you are able to create in a club.
Ancelotti's trademark, results-oriented football. Fewer quick passes and dominance on the pitch. That leaves scope for individuals like Robert Lewandowski, the goal-getter. Arjen Robben, the master dribbler. Thiago, the technician. Not to mention world-class goalkeeper Manuel Neuer. And new signing Mats Hummels shoring up the defense. The Bayern squad has no peer in the Bundesliga. When you see how fired up we are despite all the successes and experienced players, when you look at the changes and how our guys are full of life, and even the ones who come in off the bench have given their all, we're hungry for success. That's just how we are. It's what's required of Bayern players. Because we're all about titles and victories, and we won't get tired of it. They did, however, fall short of the ultimate aim of winning the treble, and their squad will need some rebuilding with captain Philipp Lahm and Xabi Alonso retiring. But Bayern Munich still retain their special position atop German football. They look good to add more silverware to their cabinet in years to come.
OK, let's talk to DW's Nick McKenna-Klein now. He is in Wolfsburg, standing by for us. Nick, a fifth consecutive title for Bayern. How are they celebrating at the moment?
It was a slightly muted celebration, to be perfectly honest. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we're in Wolfsburg and not in Munich. But also, I think the players did celebrate after the game, but I think they need to sink in. I think more than anything, they're relieved to have actually finally won this title. They stumbled over the finishing line. The last 5 weeks have not been the way they expected it to be. They could have won this title weeks ago, and they didn't. So I think the players are just happy to have finally actually won.
And, of course, Bayern Munich, you know, they just got knocked out of the Champions League by Real Madrid. They also got knocked out of the German Cup by Borussia Dortmund. So I understand what you're saying. They're happy to have won this title, but are they satisfied with this season?
The club and the players aren't. This club goes into every season wanting to win the treble. It's the bare minimum is to win the league title. They've done that now. And I think these players, they have such a hunger to be successful. They want to win the Champions League. They want to win the German Cup. And the Bundesliga titles are something which they just win on the side. And I think it's a bittersweet feeling for them. The fans, however, are very happy to win the German title. They still find it very important to win the German title, which I think it doesn't quite have the gloss that it used to. But they still really much, very much enjoy it.
Well, you say it doesn't have the gloss that it used to. You know, this is the fifth time that Bayern have won the Bundesliga title in a row. No other team seems to be close to them in the Bundesliga at the moment. What does this tell us about the Bundesliga?
Tells us that the Bundesliga needs a team that can finally give Bayern a run for their money. I think that Leipzig will be a team to do that in the near future, but Bayern are just leaps and bounds better than any other team in this league at the moment, and that's got a lot to do with finances. As I said, Leipzig is a team which I think will be able to catch up with them. Dortmund, especially with their young players, are a team who maybe in years to come can really give Bayern a run for their money. But at the moment, there's nobody quite as good as Bayern Munich.
OK, Nick, many thanks for that. Nick McKenna-Klein there reporting from Wolfsburg. And we will have plenty more background on Bayern's fifth league title in a row coming up in about 10 minutes' time, just under 10 minutes' time in our Bundesliga show. We'll also have all today's action for you in that show. Now, a show of unity today in Brussels, where the European Union reached agreement on a joint stance ahead of upcoming negotiations on Britain's exit from the bloc. EU leaders described their common stance as both firm and fair, and they also said Britain would first have to agree on its exit bill, thought to be around €60 billion, before it can start negotiating a future trade deal with the European Union.
The guidelines for Brexit talks were endorsed just minutes after the meeting began in Brussels. It was a clear message of unity to London.
We now have unanimous support from all the 27 member states and the EU institutions, giving us a strong political mandate for these negotiations.
The leaders agreed to a phased approach with a number of golden rules for phase one.
Golden rule number one. First you talk about separation and only then the future relationship.
Leaders of France and the Netherlands said the UK would need to pay a price for leaving. But along with the German Chancellor, they also said the EU did not mean to punish Britain.
For
the 27 of us now trying to forge a common position, I think it's the most natural thing to do. We have 27 here who are negotiating and one who has asked to leave. That's just the way things are. It doesn't mean that we are united against someone. It is actually easier for Britain if we speak with one voice.
Golden rule number two, the divorce issues. No hard border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. The protection of the rights of 3 million EU citizens in the UK. And finally, the Brexit bill.
However, Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said the EU hasn't yet arrived at a total sum it wants Britain to pay. There is no bill of €60 billion that the EU has presented Britain with. What we have is a cautious estimate, but nothing precise as yet. The EU members pledged they would also stick together against potential British efforts to divide and conquer.
It was the first and the last time that we were able to conclude in 4 minutes, so don't expect us to keep the same speed. It will never happen again.
The EU has laid out its position, and now it must see if the UK wants to play by its golden rules.
Turning to Turkey now, the government's crackdown there on suspected supporters of last July's failed coup continues. Almost 4,000 people dismissed today from their jobs in the civil service, in the police and in the military. And this comes on top of an estimated 120,000 dismissals since last July. Well, earlier today, Turkey also blocked access to Wikipedia, the free online encyclopedia. The reason for that move is unclear at the moment. State media are quoting officials who say Wikipedia has failed to remove content promoting terror while also accusing Turkey of cooperating with various terror groups. So to try and understand what's going on there, we're going to go to our correspondent in Istanbul now, Dorian Jones. Dorian, another wave of dismissals, thousands of civil servants fired from their jobs. Do they really present such a serious threat to President Erdogan and his government?
Well, all of these people are accused of being belonging to or supporting the Islamic cleric Fethullah Gulen, who lives in self-imposed exile in the United States. According to Ankara, he is the mastermind behind the failed coup attempt, and they accuse him of heading a vast network of supporters throughout the country, and particularly in the civil service, the police, the judiciary. Now, it has to be said that in the early days, when they were close allies, Gulen and the president, it was widely accepted that they did have this vast network within the state. Now, it wasn't seen as a threat. It is now. And now the president is insisting that they are determined to root out this network, which, as they say, poses a clear and present danger. Now, there is an acceptance that this network does exist, but the concern is that many other innocent people are believed to be expelled with very little redress after being removed from their office.
And just briefly, Dorian, this move to block access to Wikipedia in Turkey, what's the background there?
Well, according to... We don't really know what the real reason is, but according to reports, it's in relation to some citations and reports on Wikileaks that alleges that the Turkish government has been supporting the Islamic State. Now, that is an accusation that has been floating around for many years. They've hotly denied that. Quite why they have taken this quite draconian step is very unclear. All it has done is heightened an interest in what is on Wikileaks. But it gives another example of the sweeping powers that the government and president has under emergency rule. And it is shown that they have no hesitation in using them. And Turkey is one of the worst countries for banning internet sites, including in the past Twitter and Facebook regularly are banned. And then this is just the latest example of using these draconian powers.
OK, Dorian, many thanks for that. Dorian Jones in Istanbul. In the US, thousands of demonstrators have been marching in cities across the country to demonstrate against President Donald Trump's climate policies. Activists are opposed to the president's rollbacks of environmental protection regulations, and they're also against considerations in the White House of withdrawing from the 2015 Paris Agreement aimed at curbing global warming. The protests come as President Trump marks his 100th day in office. He's due to hold a rally in Pennsylvania later today. In Russia, opposition supporters have been demonstrating in several cities against the prospect of President Vladimir Putin running for re-election next year. Police in St. Petersburg detained dozens of activists. A monitoring group said there were also arrests in other cities. These protests, organised by the Open Russia movement, founded by Kremlin critic and former oil magnate Mikhail Khodorkovsky. Well, there were some people also out on the streets in the capital, Moscow. More on that now from our correspondent there, Emily Sherwin.
Police are out in force in the centre of Moscow. Despite their riot gear and the official ban on these protests, they deal with the demonstrators peacefully. This protest has not been allowed by the governing authorities, they say. Please move on to the presidential administration. That's where the political movement Open Russia has told people to deliver their letters. Letters addressed to President Vladimir Putin, setting out why they don't want him to run for president again. We're going to stand in line peacefully with the goal of letting the president of Russia know that we are sick of the system he has created and that it must be changed. Just 2 days ago, it didn't look like Open Russia's protests in the capital would simply be tolerated. Special police searched the group's Moscow office, claiming that they had been tipped off about extremist literature there. The search, shown here in mobile phone footage, came a day after Russia's general prosecutor banned the group as undesirable. Considering the crackdown carried out by the government on Open Russia ahead of this letter-writing campaign, things have been relatively quiet in Moscow today. People are being allowed to hand in their letters to the presidential administration behind me, their letters and their demands to Vladimir Putin. While Open Russia activists count at least 1,500 letters to Putin, the police say around 250 people protested in Moscow. 17 years in power is a lot. We think there should be a change. Lies, wars everywhere, corruption. We've had enough of it. Considering the strict protest laws in Russia, for the Moscow organizers of this demonstration, the fact that it went ahead smoothly is already a victory.
A quick reminder for you of our top story at the moment. Bayern Munich have just won Germany's Bundesliga for a fifth year in a row after beating Wolfsburg 6-0. And you're watching DW News in Berlin. Do stay with us if you